Number of schools back in session starting today, joining Pittsburgh Public Schools. They came back on Monday, kindergartners tomorrow, but they got a half day where 37 school due to the heat. So hang in there and we'll keep you posted here on the Big K Morning Show. And every Wednesday at this hour, Rich Fitzgerald, the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, joins us this morning. Instead of in studio, he is at a secret location. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. No, it's the Fitzgerald Beach Week, Fitzgerald Family Beach Week in Bethany. As we close out the summer, it's hard to believe it goes so fast. The kids going back to school. What does that mean? Labor Day and one of the biggest parades, Labor Day parade that we have in the country, right here in our backyard in Pittsburgh. We're going to have the president of the AFL-CIO, Darren Kelly. He's going to be joining us in a little bit to talk about that. It's out there that we've got a couple of special guests who are going to be coming to Pittsburgh on Labor Day. We saw the airport, again, breaking records. And this is really something that the feather in the cap of this region's economy. Back in the day, 20 years ago, when we had a hub, we would have about 500,000 passengers per month from Pittsburgh who used our airport. We're now approaching 1 million passengers per month in the month of June and July, which talks a lot about the vibrancy of some of the things going on. And I don't know if this has made the news yet, but the Financial Times and Nikkei has rated Pittsburgh as the second best region in the country for foreign investment. Houston came in first, but Pittsburgh came in second. We can talk about that in maybe in next week, but that's a big piece of news for our economy.
And yesterday, I talked to Bob Kierlik with the airport about travel, TSA challenges because of the increase in passenger demands and the added flights. And the new airport, obviously, is going to help alleviate some of that. It seems very timely now that we have a new airport for 2025, which you had a huge part in.
It really does, because we do need, we're going to have expanded capacity, expanded service to Europe and other places around the world and within domestically. We see that happening. Christina Kasotis, and there's an editorial even in this morning's paper with the Post-Gazette talking about all the expansion that continues to happen. There's cargo expansion going on with freight logistics. What does it really mean? Jobs and economic growth. But it's also going to be a great passenger experience. I think people will really love it once it is open. We took a number of the county commissioners for a tour a couple of weeks ago. They were really impressed with some of the things that are going to be coming about for us Pittsburghers.
One of the things I think a lot of people will be excited about with the new airport is just it's going to eliminate, as we've discussed, that tram, so you won't have to get on a tram to get. When you arrive, you'll be right there, and that means also when you come back, your bags will be right there.
That's exactly right. In fact, the way the baggage system was, almost 8 miles of baggage conveyance that had to be repaired and fixed, and et cetera, you will be so much closer to your gate, to your car, to your car service, to the, you know, whatever, getting picked up by a loved one, that tram parking, you know, literally miles away from where your gate is, that will really improve the customer experience. And when you get there, if you get there early, you're going to be able to go out into an outdoor plaza, one of the few airports in the country, even in the world, that you'll be able to sit outside in a park-like setting, basically. Have a cup of coffee, have a sandwich, relax while you're waiting for your loved one or waiting for your flight to take off.
All right, before we get to the end of county fair season here coming up next, we're going to take you to Indiana County. The Fitzgerald annual event, how many family members gather for this, Rich? I'm curious.
We'll have about 15, counting, you know, all the extended family, a new granddaughter who's enjoying crawling around and getting sand everywhere. And yes, we're enjoying our last week of summer before we turn the page on fall.
Well, we appreciate you on your vacation sharing time this morning, and thank you for that.
Absolutely. We are going to bring on County Commissioner Shireen Hessen a little bit. The commissioner, which is a big deal for us, she was also named and elected as the leader of the entire state, the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania, all 67 counties. Commissioner Hess is now the president. So all those county issues that we all worry about and take to Harrisburg and to Washington, Commissioner Hess will be leading us, our own from Indiana County, as we close out fair season. And she'll talk about the fair. Their fair has been going on for more than a century and a half. And we've had a great county fair season with all of our county fairs. Great attendance, great weather, and a lot of vibrancy.
You'll meet County Commissioner Hess along with Rich Fitzgerald coming up next on the Big K Morning Show. Morning Show welcomes Rich Fitzgerald, director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, which is 10 counties and the city, and one of those counties, Indiana County. And Rich, you bring on our very special guest today.
Yeah, Commissioner Hess. She's in her third term. Commissioner Shireen Hess from Indiana County had a 25-year career before she did that, working in conservation, water quality, economic development, human services. Was recently voted as the president of the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania, meaning all 67 counties who get together and really work on public policy issues that affect us all. Probably the most prominent recently that's been in the news, elections are run when people can count the votes and all the mail-in voting and all the things that counties basically run at the direction of the state. So as also we close out county fair season, we've had a great county fair season. The last one in our region is this week's county fair, is Indiana County. So welcome, Commissioner. We're glad to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about the fair this week.
Well, good morning, Rich, and it's so great to be with you. And yes, I'm really proud to be representing Southwestern Pennsylvania as president-elect of the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania. So as you said, our membership is working hard to represent all of those counties every day. We reach out to legislators, to the public, to private businesses, anybody who's working with county government. So it's great to be there doing that. And yes, we are so excited to be having our Indiana County Fair. This is the 161st Indiana County Fair, where we're celebrating the best in Pennsylvania and the United States with a real traditional agricultural county fair. So we're really happy. We're seeing lots of animals. We've got a very large livestock display. We have a larger farm machinery exhibit than probably any other fair around us. We've got over 125 tractors on display. We've got great food, carnival rides, live music, demolition derby, performances by local students, which is always a great hit. We've got a Christmas tree show, 4-H and open exhibits. It's a great time.
IndianaCountyFair.com has all the details, including tonight's ATV drag race starting at 7 o'clock. Commissioner Hess, appreciate you being on with us this morning. As an important role that you have, I'm curious, with the 67 counties in Pennsylvania, what do you hear echoed from other commissioners about what the needs are around this state?
Well, yes, county government officials face a lot of challenges. You know, we have human services, so mental health matters, housing, food security, employment issues. So all those things. Plus, we're, you know, county government runs the 911 centers. So public safety is a big and emergency services matters are very important to all of us. Lots of challenges there. Community planning and economic development, we're, you know, with all of the federal investments being made, every single county has an interesting and unique challenge related to how to avail ourselves of all of these investments being made and then deploy that money out into these communities. And many of them, like ours, coal communities and communities in rural areas and small towns that have just faced so many economic issues. So, yeah, we've got a lot of things happening right now. And, you know, every county is different, but we all have those issues that are those challenges that are facing us.
Well, I know that I have two brothers and many, many friends who went to IUP, and I know the medical community there, along with higher education, has some exciting things coming, too.
Right. Yes. The IOP is starting a College of Osteopathic Medicine, and under the direction of the new dean, Dr. Miko Rose, they are in full swing of recruiting personnel for that college, and also, determining how the residents that are going to be there and where they're going to do their clinical rotations. And it's kind of amazing. I've got a great partnership now with IRMC, Indiana Regional Medical Center, and which has taken on some new partners, Punxsutawney's Area Hospital and Armstrong's Area Hospital. So a lot of partnerships are happening and a lot of great plans being put into place now to underpin what we hope is going to be a very successful College of Osteopathic Medicine. So, and the aim is to encourage residents and students to not only get trained and get their education at IUP, but to stay here and also in other rural areas. We know that, doctors and healthcare professionals in rural areas is a big challenge to keep them there. So this is an aim to try to fill that gap, if you will, in the coming years.
Yeah, Larry, you're exactly right. You hit on it with some of the groundbreaking things that are happening with the DO school and what IUP is doing. They're also doing some innovative things around robotics and training young people in that growing field. So really kudos to IUP for some of the things they're doing. I know the commissioners Hess and her colleagues, Keith and Gorman, are working on this as well. And, we don't think about the need of having shortage of doctors, some of us living in Pittsburgh, because we have this Eds and Meds facilities that are outstanding. But once you leave, 30, 40, 50 miles away, the needs are really short. So there's a shortage of those type of facilities and those kind of practice people that can do that. So we're very fortunate that IUP is doing what they're doing.
And one of your most famous residents, Jimmy Stewart, a true American hero who gave up his movie career to join what was eventually the Air Force. And then the fact that he's from Indiana. And I know that I've been to the Jimmy Stewart Museum. I highly recommend anyone that goes to Indiana, PA, you check that out. Commissioner Hess, that's pretty special.
It sure is. Yes, right on Philadelphia Street in our wonderful downtown. And it's been there for quite a year. It's under the great direction of our director, Janie McCurgan, and wonderful board of directors. And they have displays that change new exhibits every once in a while. And more than once in a while, it's really a neat place. And there's a theater there where they show a Jimmy Stewart movie every day. And so you can, if you're a little warm these next few days, and you just come into that theater and sit and watch a wonderful Jimmy Stewart movie, you won't be disappointed.
Well, visit the Indiana County Fair. You can go to the website. It's easy to find with all the details into the weekend. Commissioner Serene Hess, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. And good luck this weekend with all your ventures coming up.
Thank you so much. Great to be on your show.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And every Wednesday at this time, we welcome Rich Fitzgerald, who's the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Rich, kind enough, even on vacation, to be with us, felt it was important because of the coming weekend. We got a lot going on, Rich, here in Pittsburgh.
Well, this is an important week, and coming off the heels of last week's Democratic National Convention, in which we were prominently displayed, three of our prominent officials spoke at that convention, Governor Shapiro, Lieutenant Governor Davis, and Senator Casey, all of which will be here this week with a couple of other special guests. President Biden and Vice President Harris have announced that they will be coming to Pittsburgh for Labor Day. We've had President Biden half a dozen times during his career as candidate for vice president, as vice president, as candidate for president, and then as president. He came a couple years ago, not in the parade, as president because of the security issues that we're all aware of. But he came here to a steelworkers union hall in West Mifflin a couple years ago. And the person that has to organize all of that is President Darren Kelly, the president of the Allegheny Fayette Labor Council in Western Pennsylvania. And one of the important jobs that President Kelly has, in addition to organizing over 100,000 marchers who will march in this parade, one of the largest in the country, We also have an annual mass that the Catholic Church puts on at St. Benedict the Moor. And Darren's job, and you can appreciate this, Larry, is to make sure that the priests don't go on too long so that the parade can kick off on time. So welcome, President Kelly. What do we have to look forward to this week?
Welcome, gentlemen, and good morning. You know, it's funny you say that because, Rich, you know, you've been there so many times with that at Mass, and I'm looking at the clock at 9 o'clock, and I felt like I was back in grade school. Like, all right, we got to get moving here. But it's what an amazing time for our region. And, you know, this is the first time that we're having, you know, the president and the vice president. I mean, this is something that, number one, it's extremely humbling, but it's a true testament to this labor movement, our elected officials, and our region as a whole, that people would recognize and come here like this. We're so excited.
President Kelly, I'm curious because a lot of people, of all the places in America they could choose to be, this really tells us, regardless of your party affiliation, because we know both parties are canvassing around the state, how important Pennsylvania is in the national spotlight.
You know, it is. And the presidential election, you know, runs through Pennsylvania, and the trenches are Western Pennsylvania. No matter where you stand, you know, you have to win Western Pennsylvania. We understand that. And this is something that we wholeheartedly put on our back. We're very proud. And it's a testament to the region itself. And, you know, this, when I found out about this and started getting word the past couple of days and knew that it was going to be both, I said, oh goodness, this is an honor, but it's also very humbling, and we do not take for granted the fact that how people look at us, and we're so excited.
Yeah, and one of the things to know, and I know we obviously have the couple Democrats coming to town, but this parade, there are the Republicans and Democrats who wanted elected officials who come to this parade, who work this parade and work the union and try to earn the votes of unions, of our labor movement. And, you know, the labor, you know, movement really began in so many ways here in southwestern Pennsylvania, dating back to our industrial heritage, and continues to this day. And all the various unions that Darren Kelly and his team, you know, coordinate is really important. And it does say a lot that as Joe Biden is ending his very distinguished service career, that his final Labor Day, he's going to be doing it here in Pittsburgh, a place that almost is like a second home to him, even though he was from Scranton and Delaware.
You know, you're absolutely right. And Rich, you were side by side with us on many of the times that he came to church with us and marched. And, you know, what's funny is, when we think about Labor Day here in the city of Pittsburgh, now, as far as the parade itself, we're at, I think it's the 41st, but we can trace the roots back to Labor Day celebrations to the late 1800s. You know, you look at a couple of the shining moments in 1939, 1940, and 1941, you know, the holiday was recognized, but the American labor movement, especially here in Western Pennsylvania, gave their holiday back. For the American war effort, did not receive pay, and over 40,000 men and women of Western Pennsylvania, especially in the Mon Valley, said that it is our patriotic duty to get our country ready. In 1939, 1940, 1941, we were, you know, actively going in 1941, but it's that type of history, and we also seen a darker time in the 1960s where Labor Day celebrations, you know, ceased not just here, but throughout the country, as it was a dark time for American manufacturing. But in 1984, it kicked back up, and, you know, minus the 2 years that we had stopped the parade for the pandemic, because the most important thing is the safety of the men and women. And Rich, you were right there with us and worked with me, and we, you know, we all felt that was the best thing to do. But it's funny how it's grown. We are now up to, you know, 230 individual locals, a record amount of high school and college bands, dance team. We welcome everyone because this is a celebration not just for labor, but for our community. And I think that's what makes ours so special, is everybody wants to be, you know, be a part of something. And this is a something of just, you know, being part of a community. And I know that that's simple. That may be a cliche, but where there's so much craziness in this country right now, that smiling and watching children dance with the bands and seeing retirees telling stories and older gentlemen talking to younger gentlemen, older sisters talking to younger sisters, this is what it's about. And we are so proud of that. And we do our community service this year. We're telling everyone to take more of an individual approach, whether it's working, helping your neighbors, it's giving blood to the blood bank, it's turning over book bags to new, you know, children going to school. No good deed is too small. And you know how I feel about that. And labor is not just the workers. We're part of the community.
Well, President Kelly, make sure you keep that homily short so you can get off on time Monday.
There you go. I promise you we'll try. But even I start getting my ants in my pants, but I get that look. You know, you remember the look.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the look in Catholic grade school. But to this great city, we thank you so much for your commitment to organize labor. And our job forecast, there's nothing better. We're seeing growth in all of our sectors. And, you know, it's such a great time to be a union member. We're seeing, you know, support like we've never seen. And I think because everyone realizes that it's not Democrats, not Republican. Everybody wants to retire with dignity, great wages, health care for all. I mean, It's a great time, but this is an American right, not just a political aspect.
Well, we appreciate it.
Larry, I
got to
tell one last story, and you'll appreciate this as a kid who went through Catholic school. There's a reason he's the president. And a couple of years ago, when Joe Biden did come as candidate Biden and came to the Mass, Darren said, "Oh, you guys get to sit in the front row," meaning you guys, meaning Mike Doyle, Congressman Doyle, Senator Casey, Governor Wolf, and President candidate Biden. "I'll sit in the second row," meaning President Kelly says this. Little did we know that the first row had no kneelers. You had to kneel on the floor. So the president,
the pew, we call it the pew of shame. We know that the pew of shame. The Catholics know that one.
All of us old guys had to go on the floor, and our knees were hurting. And even poor Joe Biden, who was, I guess, about 75 at the time, he did it like a good Catholic boy. Anyway, well, thanks, Darren. Thanks for being with
us. I caught some static for that one for over a year, Larry. I caught some static for that one.
Darren, thank you, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, gentlemen. You too. And happy Labor Day to you and to all your listeners, gentlemen. Be rich and be safe.
All right. Thanks, Darren.
President of the Allegheny-Fayette Central Labor Council, Darren Kelly. Big, big weekend ahead. And we'll be back with a final note from Rich Fitzgerald coming up next as we say goodbye to Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, kind enough to join us on his annual family vacay at the beach. I don't see you as a big sun worshiper, though, Rich. You got that Irish skin like me.
You're right. And when noon comes, I typically go back to the house while my Italian wife with my half Italian kids are able to worship the sun a little more than I am. So, yes, I often do some of the check on emails, do a few things. And now I'll be helping. I said 15 people before. It's actually 14 and a half as my daughter is a little over a week from expecting our grandson. Our daughter Erin was able to join us, who lives in Philadelphia. Her doctor gave her the okay to travel a little bit, and we're anxiously anticipating the birth of our grandson.
Well, what a special time for your family. And before you go, next week we want to talk about this big, big deal about Pittsburgh and the region, because it's very meaningful for future investment here.
It is. Foreign investment has been very important. We know with the Shell cracker plant, the largest project in North America over the last few years, was a huge foreign investment coming into this region. And the fact that Pittsburgh, named by the Financial Times and Nikkei as number two in the country, is the best place. And they talk about trained workers. They talk about quality of life. They talk about affordability. They talk about ease of doing business, beating out places like Seattle and Charlotte and Dallas and Miami that ranked the lowest. The only one that was ahead of us was Houston. So it's a big deal. We want to delve into that a little more next week.
All right. Safe travels back home, and happy Labor Day weekend.
Enjoy, everybody. Thank you, Larry. Take care.
Rich Fitzgerald, and he'll join us in studio next Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour.